Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Happy new liturgical year. Anybody excited? One person, that's good. Okay, how about this? Happy not yet quite Christmas. Okay, some of you are excited by that. How about happy end of the world? I want to talk to you later on, Chris. But you know why that is a good thing within the Christian worldview. Today we read from Luke's Apocalypse. And when you hear the word apocalypse, what do you think? End of the world. And it's going to be fiery and bad. And you don't want it to happen during your lifetime. You think of movies. You think of awful things happening. But remember the context in which the Gospel of Luke was written. It was written about 100 years after Jesus had died, after Jerusalem had been destroyed, after Rome went through the year of the four emperors. They had four emperors in 1 year, in AD 69. I'm not going to get them in order except for the last one, but Otto and Galba and Vitellius and Vespasian. There was a lot of upheaval in Rome. And that upheaval was felt all throughout the Mediterranean world. It was felt in Judea. So people had a sense that the world was coming to an end. They had a sense that the wheels were coming off the bus or the cart. And this was a fear that people had lived with for a long, long time. Now, I'm glad you're all here at church, but I'm going to assume that none of you, or most of you at least, are not marinating in the Bible. That you don't see the world through the lens of Scripture. People did back then. And all of these really fearsome events that we read about in Luke were foretold in the book of Daniel. That's right, in the Hebrew Bible. And there's this fear and understanding that the world was going to come to an end. Now, I am not going to offer you a spoiler here. You all know the world is going to come to an end. You do know that. Sun's going to go nova at some point, and as it expands, it's going to consume the earth. Hopefully, we'll all be long gone by then. Humanity will have found a way off the planet, but it is going to happen. But the author of Luke did not know that. And he was sensitive to the fact that the world which he knew was still fragile. So I'm going to climb out on a limb here and assume some people were not excited by the results of the election at the beginning of November. And you may think, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. It's not. We are going to survive. And I would have said the same thing if Harris had won. You may have thought the world was going to end, but it's not. At least not now. Now, of course, I make no promises that somebody at NORAD is not going to misinterpret something on a radar screen and press the wrong button. But Donald Trump is not going to lead us to our destruction. No politician is going to do that. No celebrity, no sports figure. Nobody on this earth is going to do that. But we should still be prepared for Jesus to return. Now, I asked that last week. Are you ready for Jesus to return? And one person here nodded, yes. And that's very admirable, and I'm glad that you're enthusiastic about that. But I think the rest of you who weren't raising your hands and saying, yeah, come back, Jesus, we're more in tune with reality. Are you prepared for Jesus to return? We are preparing for that event during Advent. And yes, you may be waiting for a present under the tree. You may want that new video game. You may want a new car. You may want a new coat. But that is not what Advent is all about. We are celebrating an event that took place 2,000 years ago. So guess what? Baby Jesus will not be born on the night of December 24th. That event has already happened 2,000 years ago from March. But Jesus is going to return. And that has been a claim that the church has made for 2,000 years, the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know when it's going to happen. And no less an authority than Origen wrote that we should not be worrying about the problems with this prophecy. Jesus did not return during the generation that experienced everything that was going on. But Jesus will come back. Why? Well, you may remember that famous phrase from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I am not going to add the dependent clause to that. That is it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because he loves you, and you, and you, and you, and for some reason, me. That's it. God loves each and every one of us. And sure, maybe you're tired of me saying that. Maybe you want me to say that God loves everyone on that side of the sanctuary, and everyone on this side. Tough luck. And then next week I could say, you guys, God loves all of you, and all of you on that side, tough darts. But God doesn't distinguish between us. God loves all of us. This is a season for us to wait and to anticipate. And you may all be running around like your hair's on fire, trying to get ready for the Christmas holiday. I'm not going to tell you not to go out and get your presents. I'm not going to tell you to give up on decorating this year. But that's not the most important thing. Some of you may like Christmas movies. Anybody here has seen Miracle on 34th Street, the original version? I kind of like the depiction of Santa in that movie. Sort of fits with my childhood vision of who Santa was. Well, now Santa's been updated. And apparently Santa is now being portrayed in commercials and some TV movies as having a six-pack abs and a cut physique. And he's also been abducted by malefactors who want to undermine Christmas. But he's going to be okay because Dwayne Johnson is going to rescue him. Now here's the spoiler. Santa Claus does not have bodyguards. And since there are no children here, I'm not going to go in the problems that the church has with Santa as a figure. Yes, there was a St. Nicholas. He was a Turk. He came from Myra. And he did good deeds. Santa does not have a workshop at the North Pole. It is physically impossible. If he does, it's on an ice cap and it's going to melt. Is that what you're placing your hope in? So sorry, I'm not going to tell you again that all is going to be well, that the Christmas season is all light and rainbows and unicorns and happiness and joy, because there are people out there who are struggling. There are people out there who are sad. There are people out there who need to be remembered and cared for. There may be members of this congregation who need our attention. I can think of one of them in the choir right now. So what are you waiting for? Honestly. And are you waiting for the right things? I'm not going to tell you what the right things are. Hopefully you've been paying attention in church and throughout your life to figure out what's important. But it is not the flashy new car. It is not the thing. So, happy Advent. Maybe not the most cheerful message I could give you, but if you think about it, it is the most meaningful. And by caring for one another, we care for God's people. And that is a good way for us to get some joy. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Advent. We thank you for the time to wait and to prepare to make room in our hearts for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.